Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
The mercy you give is the mercy that you're going to receive. If you are a merciful person in interacting with the people around you, then you receive mercy. And I've often said, I like to say, I need mercy, so I want to be the most merciful person there is.
We hope you have been blessed by our series through Galatians and learning so much about the freedom we have in Christ and learning that we can fulfill the law without keeping the law. Today, we are studying the law of sowing and reaping and learning there are direct consequences or rewards to our actions. We're in Galatians 6, verses 6 through 10. Please stay with us. Here comes Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Father, thank you so much for your word. It is our authority. It's that which we wish to live by. We not only want to know what's in your word, but we want to do what your word says. Lord, take us deeper into you and into your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The Bible teaches us that what we do today affects what's going to happen to us in the future or tomorrow. That we can do good things today that will allow good things to happen for us in the future. We can do bad things today that will produce bad things for us in the future. Today we want to look at the law of sowing and reaping from the quintessential passage that talks about it. If you sow to the Spirit, from the Spirit you will reap life. If you sow to the flesh, from the flesh you will reap corruption. Now there are physical laws, and we've learned to live by those physical laws. I've just got three of them. There's the law of gravitation. I don't know if the scientists understand it completely. We understand it, right? It means when I drop something, it falls to the ground, right? Smaller mass is attracted to larger mass. We understand that. There's the law of motion. And that's that once things get into motion, they tend to stay in motion unless there's something that stops it. There's the law of thermodynamics. Everything is going from a place of wholeness to being corrupt, or everything is becoming less complicated as time goes on. We're not talking about technology. We're talking about things degrading. The second law of thermodynamics. There's also a first law of thermodynamics as well. Now, there are also spiritual laws that we as Christians learn to live by. And there are laws that work. We have the law of effective prayer. The Bible tells us that when we are right with God and people, and we are fervent in our prayers, that our fervent prayers matter. The effective, fervent prayers of a righteous man accomplish as much. When we're serious about prayer, we want to make sure we have things right with God. And if we have things wrong with people around us, take time to go and make things right with people. Make those things right, and then pray fervently, at least as much as it concerns you. So the Bible says, be at peace with all men as much as it concerns you. There might be those that you go to, you're not able to make peace with, but as much as it concerns you, you're doing what you can. There's the law of serving others, or we could call it the law of greatness in the kingdom of God. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, then you learn to be a servant of all. You don't gain greatness by trying to be great. You gain greatness by saying, I want to be a servant. I want to serve those who are here. There's the law, what I call the law of returned mercies. You might say, I've never heard that used before. That's because I made it up today. That's where the Bible says that the mercy you give is the mercy that you're going to receive. If you are a merciful person in interacting with the people around you, then you receive mercy. And I've often said, I like to say, I need mercy, so I want to be the most merciful person there is. There's the law of returned judgment. Another name I made up today. That is that in the manner you judge is the manner that you're going to be judged. And so when you are tearing someone down, when you're talking poorly about them, God now hears that. Jesus said you are judged by your very words, and we are affecting how God will judge us in the future. So I would like to, for the rest of my life, be that person that doesn't judge anybody. I like to tell anybody, I don't judge anybody. I'm not a judge. I don't want to judge anybody. I don't know what's going on in people's hearts. I don't know motives. I don't want to pretend that I do. I want to be harder on myself. Jesus said, judge yourself and you won't have to be judged. I want to judge myself harder than I judge other people. And then there's the law of sowing and reaping, which in our text we are covering today. The interesting thing about this law is it fits in both categories. It is a natural law. If you go out and sow, you are going to reap. You would have to learn how to do it better so you can get a bigger crop or whatever it is that you're looking for. But if you sow apple seeds, you're going to get apple trees. If you go, I want an orchard, then there's the science of sowing and reaping that allows you to do that. You go and you plant the trees, you work with them, you do what you've got to do to make sure that your trees are fruitful, and that's the law of sowing and reaping. You don't go, I want an orchard, an apple orchard, and go out and plant lemon trees. And then go, why is there apple? You would never ask that question. And if you ever did, you know, I planted lemons, I was wanting apples, but I got apples, what went wrong? You planted lemon trees. That's the problem. You planted lemon trees when you were looking to get apples. So there's a natural law of sowing and reaping, and then there is a spiritual law of sowing and reaping. And the spiritual law, although it is similar, it is different. If we sow to the Spirit, from the Spirit we will reap life. If we sow to the flesh, from the flesh we will reap corruption. If we sow today in iniquity, then we will reap from that iniquity in the future. If we sow today a rightness with God, then there will be blessings in the future because our fellowship with God will not be broken and we will be walking closely to Him. Now, in the last chapter, we pointed out that the context of all of these statements at the end of Galatians, it's so easy to get to the end of Galatians and think that it's the New Testament equivalent of the Proverbs. You just got a bunch of these just little hot statements that are made, bear one another's burden, so to the walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, like it's just Proverbs. But it's not. The whole context is about the way we interact with one another. And I say it so often, but I think it is so true. What God cares about most for us is the way we interact with one another, that we are treating one another right, that we are loving one another, that we are caring to one another, that we are carrying each other's burdens. And this one is no different. The context still is in the context that some of the Galatians were biting and devouring each other. Some of the Galatians were conceited. There's the passage earlier that says you are conceited. It's interesting, that word in the Greek for conceited, it's the word for a lack of glory. We don't have a word in English for it. It means that you're without glory. And I think the closest word that we could have is insecure. So some of us are insecure, and so we attack each other. A lot of times, the backbiting, the fighting, the devouring, the pride that comes out of that insecurity. We just feel insecure in who we are, and then we end up biting, fighting, and devouring one another. And I am really moved, especially this time through the book of Galatians, how much it's talking about the way we treat one another, the way we love one another, the way we sacrifice for one another, the way that we interact with each other. So I'll give you a list of some of the things that it says. And if you've been doing Galatians with us, you know this is just in the last chapter or so. The law is fulfilled through one word, that we love one another. And that word would be love, right? We talked about that then. It's not that he didn't know that love one another was more than one word. He knew it was love. It says, don't bite and devour one another, or you will end up consuming one another, which is kind of a spiritual cannibalism. If you look at that picture, don't bite and devour one another because you're going to consume one another. The last thing that I want to do is consume you, is to somehow destroy you. I hope the last thing that you want to do in my life is to consume me somehow destroy me. The Bible tells us that within the works of the flesh, all of these have to do with relationships. Hatred, dissensions, envy, covetousness, jealousness, and outbursts of wrath. Those were all in the works of the flesh that have to do with relationships. On the other side of that, there's the fruit of the Spirit, which has to do with relationships as well. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It also said, let us not be conceited. That's the passage I talked to you about that we don't really have an English word for it. It means no glory, really literally is what it means. And let us not be conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And if we're insecure, now we can kind of understand how we would provoke one another. and how we would envy one another when somebody's doing something or God's using them in a certain way because we have that insecurity. And in our last passage, we saw that we were to bear one another's burdens. There's burdens that we have on us that we need help with. There's things that we go through, and I need a brother in Christ to come alongside of me and help me bear that. And you go through the same kind of things. And then there's things we have to bear. That's what we saw in our study last week. There's things that we need to bear, that you can't bear it for me. I just have to bear it. There's things that you're going through. And I think anytime we get together with a smaller group of Christians, maybe one of the important things to remember is that everyone there has burdens they're bearing, that they have to bear. Everyone's going through something. And we end up maybe attacking them or tearing them down, or we backbite, or we talk about them, or we slander them, when really they're in need of us supporting them. Really showing, first of all, like a doctor, do no harm. First, do no harm to another brother in Christ, but bear one another's burdens. And out of this context comes the passage we are covering today. The context of the sowing and reaping passage is in the context of living properly towards those around us. And we're going to see that at the very end of the passage. Don't look it up yet. You can do whatever you want to do. You'll look it up. Now, this is not usually taught this way. People don't usually look at the context of this sowing and reaping passage. This is usually spoken of in a motivational speaker sense. You want your life better? You want to walk closer to Christ? You want better things happening in your life? You want more money? You want to use money better? Then sow to the Spirit. And then these things are going to happen for you. Your life's going to be better because you sow to the Spirit. And if you sow to the flesh, then from the flesh you're going to reap corruption. And bad things are going to happen to you. And you could get rid of bad things happening to you in the future if you sow to the flesh instead of sowing to the Spirit. Now, part of that's right. There's truth in that. You sow to the Spirit, things are going to be a whole lot better for you. Especially if you can step all the way back and see eternity. Then you're like, I'm really glad I sowed to the Spirit. If you sow to the flesh, things are going to be bad for you. And maybe even all the way back to eternity. But even here and now. So there is a way, and that's true. But it is possible that you could sow to the Spirit and have negative things happen to you now. That God may use your spirituality, your depth in Christ, to take you through something to be able to minister to someone else. Paul was an apostle, and yet he had a thorn in the flesh to keep him humble because of the greatness of his calling. So you could say he sowed to the Spirit, and because of that, there was struggles and difficulties. So there's no guarantee that if you sow to the Spirit, then only good things are going to happen to you. I think standing back generally, it's true, but specifically, it might not be. It's like if I were to stand back here today and look out at all of you and say, all of you guys have a great future in front of you. And I just wanted to motivate you. I just wanted to encourage you. You all have a great future in front of you. God's going to do great things through your life. You just got to put your eyes on him and God's going to... Now, but maybe that's not true for some of you. And that's why it's so dangerous to teach like that. It's good to hear that encouragement, but some people might need to hear, you're on a dangerous path. You need to repent. You need to turn. You need to change your mind about the way you're living. Some need to hear that. And so if you only go the other route, well, then there's problems. And if we use this passage to speak about your life being better, this is like a self-help motivational message for you. When God gave it to us to help our relationships that may be struggling, then that's a complete misapplication. And so we'll see this. This is verses 6 through 10. And it starts off by saying, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Now, let me just read through this. I want you to get the sense of it. So it starts off by saying, do good to those who teach. We'll talk about why that's important in a minute. By the way, that could be a very self-serving passage, right? Do good to those who teach. So I'm going to tell you guys how you can be good to me when I'm done here. That could be very self-serving. You got to be careful. So let me read again. We're going to read all the whole passage. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he also reaps. For he who sows to the flesh of the flesh will reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary in doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, but especially to those of the household of faith. Do good to those who teach. Do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. Don't grow weary in doing good, for in due season you will reap. So you see, it's about the way you treat people. That's what this whole passage is about. From beginning to end, it's about sowing in such a way that you are blessing the people around you, that you are ministering to the people around you, that you are a strength and you are a support to people around you. So often we look at relationships by what I gain from that relationship instead of how can I help people around me? How can I really be a help to them? How can I be a blessing? How can I do what God wants me to do? So let's break it down. Let's break down our text. So it starts off Galatians 6:6. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. The Bible says that God has given gifts to the church in the book of Ephesians. And pastor teachers were listed among these gifts. Let's consider that passage. It's Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. It says, and he himself gave some to be apostles. Those were the foundations of the church. There are some apostles today, but an apostle is a sent out one. And we don't really use that term today. Barnabas was called an apostle. And he wasn't one of the 12 apostles. So someone today who would call themselves an apostle, you want to use it in the Greek term, it's sent out. So God sent out men to plant churches in the first century, and they were apostles. Then it says he gave some to be apostles, some prophets. There were prophets in the New Testament times as well, the first century as well. Evangelists, people that just have that special gift of sharing Christ. And I wish I had more of that gift, by the way. I'm jealous of those that have a really strong gift of evangelism. And some pastors and teachers. So that's the last set of gifts that are given. Pastors who are like a shepherd that watch over and care for the spiritual condition of the flock, and teachers as well. These are gifts to the body of Christ. So we have the gifts of local pastors that care for the sheep, and we have the gift of pastor teachers, some who are very good, that have a very large influence, who are a gift to us. I think of the gifts I enjoy to really listen to. Watch David Jeremiah, Charles Stanley, Greg Laurie, Chuck Swindoll. I'm not going to start a whole list thinking of who. I'm going to just list them all. But they are gifts to our generation. In fact, some people say if they're not dead, they're not read. You know what that means? That means, this is a saying pastors say, that means that they don't read anybody that's alive. They have to be dead in order to listen to them. I have kind of a little different attitude towards that. I want to read people that are in our culture and in our time. And I want to hear what God's saying to them. And I seem to learn much more from them than I do from somebody that lived 400 years ago, 500 years ago. That's me. Maybe I'm not as spiritual as the, if they're not dead, they're not read people. But for me, it just seems to help. So there's gifts. And here, Paul focuses on those who teach the word. Let him who is taught share in all good things with him who teaches. Let me give you a few thoughts and scriptures. When you put yourself in the public arena, you are going to be criticized. You are going to be treated unfairly. People will say rude things. People will attack you with their words. And they'll talk about you behind your back. And if you say right now, I want to be a pastor one day, that's what you're in for. And when I was a young pastor, and I'm in my mid-20s at this point, I was given a cassette tape from Charles Swindoll about pastors, pastoring. And there were a few things that he said I still remember to this day, lessons I needed to learn at 25 years old, because that's a crazy young age to start a church. I don't realize that. I didn't realize that then. When people said, you're so young, I can't come here, I was just like, ah. Plenty of old pastors out there, to which they could have responded, and if the Lord tarries, you'll be one of them one day. But I listened to that tape, and he said one thing that a pastor needs, and if you don't have it, don't do it. He said, if you can't do this, then don't do it, because it will tear you up, is that you have to have a duck's back. The water has to roll off. When people say things about you, you've got to be able to shrug it off and go, no biggie. Doesn't matter. And then he said, you've got to have rhinoceros skin. It's thick. So that when someone says something about you, you can just go, boom, okay, no problem. And I love when someone has apologized to me for something they said. I didn't even know they said it. They apologized to, and then that causes more problems for me. When we were the affiliation for Calvary Chapel in Arizona for a lot of years, 15 years or so. And I was never more happy on the day that they took that away. They re-centralized in Costa Mesa, the affiliation for Calvary Chapels. And we had to get involved in some issues in certain Calvary Chapels in Arizona. And at one pastor's conference, the wife of a pastor came up to me, a pastor of a Calvary Chapel in Arizona, and said, I just need to repent to you because I've hated you for the last 5 years. I would have done much better without knowing that. If I didn't know she hated me, I would have been like, I was just being happy bliss. I just have no idea. I would have had no idea. But as soon as she told me, I found myself, why'd she hate me? We do good things for her husband. Why'd she hate me? I don't understand that. We all have insecurities. We all feel like we could do better. And putting yourself in the public form can really hurt at times. And you will also be encouraged by thoughtful, grateful people. And it is amazing how mean comments can get to you and how you are blessed and encouraged by the good comments. So in this, I'm certainly not saying that you should, you know, the Bible has a lot of warnings against flattery, right? So I'm not saying you flatter your pastor because the Bible warns against it, usually because it is manipulative. Usually want something when you flatter someone. So I'm certainly not saying that. I'm just saying give honor where honor is due. And when you're blessed, when you're encouraged, when there's growth, and you say, I just want you to know that you've really helped me in my spiritual walk, you don't know how powerful that is to me. And I will say to you, thank you for the encouragement. And I really mean that. Those kind of statements are very encouraging. And I don't tell you that so you will say them to me. Please don't take them that way, okay? Like I said, this could be very self-serving. I'm telling you this for the pastors that you know or the people that you know spiritually that have ministered to you. Encourage them. Because there are people who are rude, unbelievably rude. There are people that say things. There are people that come up angry and want to pick fights. And it's just amazing to me. It's amazing to me that those kind of things take place and happen, but it does.
Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow is a ministry of Calvary Tucson. We hope this Bible study helps you to live a life that brings glory to God and draws others to Him. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, you can visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not be possible without the support and generosity of our listeners. If you would like to partner with us financially and help spread the life-saving message of the gospel, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway Boulevard. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday at 8:45 and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday at 6 p.m. and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday 6 p.m., Sunday morning 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio. 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, and streaming at reach.radio. Or visit our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life, or you have any questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey to Jesus. Text Ready for Jesus to 94,000. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
If you are listening locally in the Tucson area and you have a school-aged child, we'd love for you to come find out more about Calvary Christian School, where we love God, love people, and love out loud. At CCS, teachers disciple students to become more like Jesus, arming them with a biblical worldview grounded in God's Word. Calvary Christian School is duly accredited, and our teachers and staff are focused on ministering to the heart of each and every student while challenging them both academically and spiritually. And thanks to scholarships provided by the state of Arizona, most students attend for little to no cost. For more information on our K-12 classes or to schedule a tour, look us up online at Calvary Christian School Tucson.